Aha! So, welcome to so many great humans skidding in from so many realms and parts of life everywhere. Rapid responders, many of you just heard about it a minute ago. This is really great training. And just for our first piece of serious whimsy, once when I was out in California and ran into wonderful herbalist Karen Saunders, she goes, it's an edgy time, you know, Mercury's retrograde, kind of prickly. You look a little bit eaten around the edges. And she said a friend had just taught her this, which is to something we can all do now. Imagine iridescent fairy dust, you know, that we're holding in our hands above our heads, and we sprinkle it over our bodies. And there we go. And then we snap our fingers and put the intention, let that which is not good for me be swept from my path, and that which is good for me be drawn into magnetic intimacy. We go, and it's very effective. It frames the whole day, right? People don't call back, and it must not have been good, right? Because it has been a prickly time, but we're going deeper than that. So welcome, team, to, you know, well, these are the words I woke up to this morning, deliberate dedication to democracy. And it's like, right. And as many of you know who've been hanging with me, I love the word deliberate because it comes from Libra. And we're here, you know, Norhal says, deliberate celebration of the change of season stirs the creative powers of the psyche. We want all parts of us quickening and coming alive. So the word deliberate comes from Libra, but even more wonderful, it comes from two verbs, liberare, to liberate, and libare, to balance. So to be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. We go, oh, so this is our equinox magic, our restoring equilibrium. One of my main dance partners is great, Amakayla Gaston. Hi there. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. So we're reuniting. We're reuniting to reunite our astro mytho political autumnal guiding, and it is I will bring in, you know, many teammates here because I felt as a Libra, and we're approaching Libra, you know, going, oh, it's so much more fun to collaborate, right? Absolutely. So our astro mytho political autumnal guiding to gather our wits with help. So I have Umpepu. Umpepu is a kind of muti from South Africa. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. Dominance is the toxic mimic of power. They are going to address those things. So they said, and Sangoma allies grew this for me. They said, if it is a dangerous time, check, and you are meeting with good-hearted people, yes, you may light this. And so telepathically, by the miracle of audio telepathy, it's passing to everybody. I hold it under my ear and circle around my heads. And they said, this invites in the necessary helpful allies at the historic moment. We go, oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So it is time to gather our wits in equanimity, equinoctial equanimity, for the big electoral inaugurating adventure dance unfurling before us. And we want to gather our wits in moments here. And I love Tiffany Aiken, the young girl witch, in Terry Pratchett's novels. And she talks about her task in I Shall Wear Midnight, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book, rereading it. The cunning man has come to town and created mob mind and the rough music that allows people to do horrible things. We're going to go backwards and forwards on this one. You know, and so her task is to dissolve the power of the cunning man, to dissolve mob mind. And she says, when we say things like, I don't know what got into me, I don't know why I said that, she goes, oh, it's the cunning man mob mind, right? So, and then she says about, we have our first thoughts, but then it's really good to have second thoughts and even third thoughts, right? Which is like, wait for it, especially now. So, So Ami, guide us in with Alegba Oshun, and just let me say a little teensy thing. Alegba, kind of Mercury, and this crossroads where we are is where Mercury, Alegba, hands the baton to Oshun, Venus, beauty, kinship, art, you know, invitation. So there you go, Ami.
Yes, and this Orisha Oshun song is sung in ceremonies as a prayer to cleanse your house, your body, as a house of spirit, and to ask for the blessings to be poured in. I love that fairy dust that you were telling us about. And then a Legba to open all of our paths and crossroads. So we begin with, Yamile Odo. Yamile Odo. Popo Ashe, Isemi Saramawoe. Yamile Odo. Parasuayo, Mama Kenya. Echuo Dara, Kenya Irawo. Parasuayo, Mama Kenya. Echuo Dara, Kenya Irawo. I say.
So, right, so we have called forth, I love this, the first time I heard the Elegba song, I was explained that our minds are dispersed over vast regions, and that song calls our dispersed minds into coherence. Here we are, right, calm mind. We want to insource everything we've outsourced, right? And then, so it's on a surface level, you know, it's been reactive and prickly. And I like the virus says, you know, I'm spiky, so you all be smooth, right? So that our prickliness does not, you know, and I've been remembering the very quirky New York Times article that said, our happiness is more related to the happiness of our neighbors, even if we don't know them, than people we live with. And it's like, okay, right? So that reminds me going, and blessings be upon you, and blessings, and there we go. So the last gig that Ami and I did together was Friday the 13th of May, and it was at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco, part of Bioneers, and then it was a full moon lunar eclipse. The sun in Taurus, the moon in Scorpio, these avenues opening between the invisible backstage and the incarnational sensual. And so when I did the chart for the upcoming election on November 8th, I was like, there's so much to work with. There's so much here eager for us to animate. This election is the corresponding reverse full moon lunar eclipse. At dawn on November 8th, the sun is just rising and the moon is just setting, and the sun is at 16 Scorpio, whose image is woman made fertile by her own spirit. Arr! And it's exactly opposite the moon exalted in Taurus. This is Big Mama. This is nature. This is animism. And Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster against all odds, genius, also at 16 Taurus. So I saw that and I was like, this is really great. So what Ami and I were doing on Friday the 13th was calling for, you know, the beginning of the dissolving of the Inquisition in many of its sneaky, sneaky forms. And we go, so Friday the 13th of May is handing the baton to us for this equinox as we head towards this election, that we began to dissolve and compost the Inquisition. And now let's finish doing that. So, it is a confluencing of allies party. It is kind of emerging too. And, so wonderful, Patricia Ewing, with whom I will be cahooting on Election Magic Council. But are you there, Pat, and eager to bring in Abigail Adams?
Yes, to the Abigail Adams to her husband, written in 1776, her husband, John Adams. I long to hear that you have declared an independency. And by the way, in the new code of laws, which I suppose it will be necessary for you to make, I desire you would remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than are your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power in the hands of the husbands. Remember, all men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
That's so great. And in this the Committee for the Republic, a quirky thing I was a part of, and maybe it will reconvene after pandemic is over, whenever humans quit despoiling the earth and the pandemic's really over. But they all, you know, and these were, you know, conservative but constitutional lawyers who dressed up as, you know, founding fathers. And they were like, women, Caroline, pick a woman. I go, okay, Abigail Adams. So I actually dressed as Abigail Adams and gave a rousing, well, I looked at her chart, and let me just bring this in, the end of the Inquisition. So astromythology really helps us. Whatever we speak to another is the part of them we're honoring and bringing alive, really. So Abigail Adams, November 22nd, 1744, has her Mercury and Pluto, even though it hadn't been discovered, at 19 plus Scorpio, which my friend Sylvia taught me long ago was by the men in the Middle Ages called the accursed degree of the accursed sign, because its image is a woman draws back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And we go, oh, it's her positive, witchy, spicy self. It was there. And we're calling, you know, Inquisition over, you know, ollie, income free, still terrible things going on in the world. But safety lies in everybody coming out as their animistic wizard, collaborate with everything selves. And then I just wanted to tie Abigail Adams to the emerging part of Liz Cheney. All right. Okay. So people do terrible things and then they have their moment. Right. And, so Abigail Adams, Mercury and Pluto at 19 Scorpio, Liz Cheney, Neptune at 19 Scorpio. And it's like, they're all witches. You know, you're safe with us, you know, come on down and we'll be addressing other people's charts as we go along. But so this is the time we're approaching equinox, equal night and day, equal Mars and Venus, equal humans and the rest of our kin. And let me bring in, you know, two more of our co-cahooters. And again, we're welcome to chime in at any time, but I will make room. So longtime ally Ron Kauk was born on the autumnal equinox. And I think it's your first book that was called Return to Balance, right, Ron?
That's right.
And I love that we met on the phone. You had me doing a reading for you, and I didn't know anything about you. I didn't know you were a famous rock climber and many other fantastic, beautiful things. But we're going along, and I go, you're born right on the equinox. Is balance important to you?
Right.
And you said, yes, it is.
Exactly. And that's what I was taught by climbing, is to understand the natural laws and how to protect yourself and find a certain kind of harmony in that environment that could, you know, be kind of extreme with rain and snow and sleet and hail, you name it. So to learn those ways of nature now, and as you just said earlier, to bring that equality in. And these moments of change in seasons kind of show that balance for a constant rejuvenation, you know. So there's just so many realms that we're already entering into to recognize our evolution as human beings, to come back to our being human and the profound intelligence we carry inside our bodies, and to activate that through the sincere connection with our Mother Earth, you know. Because really, when I look at all these things that nature tells me, when we're first born as a baby, we need that nurturing and that love and that connection. And so our entire lives, we're looking at finding that nurturing love connection. And yet, we are being nurtured 24 hours a day by our Mother Earth. You know, so to bring these things back into our psyche would give us that spiritual foundation that gives us a good direction to take within everything that we're involved in, based on love, based, you know, if you really look at it.
That's beautiful. And I love how, you know, between us and also everybody telepathically tuning in and all of your thoughts and all of that, you know, so speaking the chart, you know, so as you just spoke it, let me just give it sort of the astro mythology going. Yes. So right now, as we convene, Mercury is retrograde, which happens several times a year. I don't like attributing, you know, to Mercury retrograde. However, this has been particularly wonderfully challenging, everything needing three schedules going, no, not this, but this. And I think it's, you know, when we run into something, we go, well, this is apparently not happening, but this is not happening. But what does it leave room for over here? Just as a brief thing, a number of you know this, but as Uranus was stationing, you know, on Wednesday a couple of weeks ago, and I was going off to a conference and had plans, right? And I talked about, well, Uranus stationing, how cool, you know what? But I woke up with COVID, and it was really sort of 8 hours of like, well, I'm not going anywhere. And I called my wonderful neighbor. Hi. Hello, Diane. A wonderful neighbor going, I need to self-clarify. And she came over, brave, wonderful ally that she is. And I go, I can't move. I'm not getting in an Uber, am I? No, no, you're not. Right. And what a great friend. She called the airlines on my behalf to cancel all this stuff. But it was very quirky. And it's like when we are all lucky enough to have a little bit of earthquake or a little bit of hurricane or a little bit of something, this side of terror, our indigenous selves can then begin a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so so at first I thought this must not be the famous virus because I had these very emphatic cravings. I must have Mexican Coke. I must have a Mexican Coke. I have one every 5 years, and because it's not fructose, right? It's cola nut, and it's anyway. Then the minute I had the Mexican Coke, it was like, oh, all nausea gone. That was good. And then just weird food cravings. But so I go, okay, virus. You've been pretty polite because after 8 hours, it swept through, and I go, it's all changing. But leaving tiredness and reverie, which we could all do with some. And I was going, no, not. It was a get out of conference event virus. Thank you. What the hell? That's not happening. So this can be. So I began a conversation. Oh, virus, you know, I'm hosting you, right? We're entering the Libra realm. I'm hosting you. And that's why it really was like, I've heard of Mexican Coke. I go, okay, you know, and I'd really like, you know, protein, and I've heard of ice, whatever you want, right? So it was a pretty interesting conversation, and I'm sort of happy with that. You know, and then, you know, conversing and cooperating with everything, but it was that sense of like, this is not happening. What's happening over here? And I think there's been a lot of that around, you know, and let me bring in, Sean Patrick O'Donoghue, a longtime collaborator as well, Equinox Blessings, and so delighted to introduce you to Ron. Do you remember what it was that you liked so much when you heard Sean on the radio?
Well, it kind of goes back to, I guess, a scientific idea about every action has an opposite and equal reaction. Mm-hmm. And as he presented the idea of looking at Instagram, as opposed to, I can't quite remember, but like, say, the reflection of a moon off the lake or the landscape off a lake. And it was such a poignant moment to think about how deep and rich this beautiful world we live inside ourselves and outside ourselves to make that connection is available if we choose what to look at and how to comprehend what we're seeing. So maybe you can help me out on what it was, you know, you said there.
That's great. So I hand it to you, Sean. Any equinox blessings to proffer that our species re-wed the land? And then we might touch on mushrooms, but wherever you want to go.
Yes, well, I can weave that all in. And it was indeed, speaking of the reflection, of gazing on the reflections on the water and allowing that to be the mirror of our being dreamed into existence. The Irish philosopher John Moriarty would always ask, what is it we consent to be dreamed by? And so, absolutely, yes, that's the still water at twilight is often where I go to seek true reflection. And in Irish culture, as in many cultures, the health of sovereign relationships was always measured by what was happening with the health of the land. And here in Western Maine, between drought and the theft of water by Poland Spring, autumn has been very early. The apples have already fallen from the trees on the land where I'm living, which should not have happened right now. Mm. And so when I think of that, I think of, well, from an Irish standpoint, we have a year that's divided into two halves, the dark of the year and the bright of the year. And in the dark of the year, we give all of our blessing and pour all of our fertility toward the other world. And the bright half of the year, the other world pours all of its blessing to us. And so I think if we are in a time when the land is telling us it wants to go into darkness and wants to go into slumber sooner than it otherwise would, it's a message that we've been ignoring the ancestors and the land spirits and the exiled ones and need to turn our attention there, turn our attention to the dreaming beneath the earth. And I think of how the plants at this time of year are showing us exactly how to do that. They send all of their life force and all of their consciousness down into their roots. And the apples began to drink the cider of their own fermentation to go into their winter dreams.
Mm.
And so in the season out of balance, I think we're being called back to that reciprocity, called to listen to those deep older voices. And I think of something that Ron was saying about the Hopi teacher who was speaking of as the world is speeding up, which requires for us to slow down. And in the Irish tradition, this kind of time would have been the time when the prophet poets would put on their swan feather cloaks and go out into the wilderness and fast and sleep in dark stone chambers and eat mushrooms until they caught the fire in their head that was the truth to bring back to the people. And so may we all allow ourselves to enter more deeply into the dreaming of the earth. May we all allow ourselves to listen more to the ancestral voices and the voice of the land as we make our election of in what way power will flow. And in the Irish tradition, power flows from the other world into this world. It's the wedding of the king to the spirit of the land at the moment that the other world is in blossom and this world is in slumber that brings fruitfulness when the time for fruitfulness comes in the seasons to follow.
Hmm. And it is such a beautiful astro-mythology backing us up, this transition from the sun in Virgo to the sun in Libra. You know, Virgo is called the ruler of ritual magic, micro to macro. It's like the great voodoo, you know, Queen of New Orleans, Marie Laveau, said if she really wanted to get something done, she would sweep out the past out her front door, welcome the new in her back door, put her house in order, and then she'd go out and kick butt. And it's like, right, so the ordering is a beautiful necessity at this time to sift what to keep, what to toss.
Mm.
And we do have a beautiful grand trine in Earth, right? So Uranus in Taurus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, has been stationing all summer into now. Its image is a new continent rising fresh out of the ocean, right? So it's to us to imagine what that would be, all of our kin, right? And it's at 18 Taurus, it's got an exact trine to Venus at 18 Virgo. So we go, some things are always true, but there's times when they are truer. So this night, this time, this transitional time where the power of language craft, power of microdosing, I'm going to go back to Virgo on that too, and we know that music and metaphor are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. So we love that. And just a little more about mushrooms, just because remember, Sean, I treated us to an online seminar on psilocybe mushrooms. And the first event was Paul Stamets, who's great. And just a little bit to remind us, you know, we're in this riptide, right, of science proving folklore. And so Johns Hopkins has a huge wing studying psilocybe mushrooms. And Stamets says, you know, what they're finding is that the psilocybe mushrooms increase curiosity, confidence, and kindness in humans. They go, right, that's, and he says, those are leadership qualities. We're going to talk about what are we inaugurating, real leadership. And then it was great, Sean, having you in the chat room quietly, secretly, in the, because the other episodes, I think at one point, they were not as good. You know, and you said, God, it's like being at a New Age dinner party, right? And then you also said, you know, they invited everybody but the mushrooms. Right. And so it's like, all right, what is the actual quality of the thing? So anyway, I was glad. It's wonderful to have allies and accomplices of spicy and liberating insight. Because if we think we're the only one who sees, like, oh, this is annoying, you know, then it's alienating. But we have a buddy who sees it, then it's witty and funny. We can work with it. So there's that. We'll to and fro more in what you said, but there's a grand trine in Earth. It's Uranus to Venus to Pluto overhead now, death and rebirth. But the underworld providing the medicines that we need. Many people are microdosing psilocybe mushrooms. I think it's a great thing, but it's not necessary. You know, even just hearing the word is good. Like, hello, we're little mushrooms here to guide. And I think like all the great sacraments, it just softens us, it deconditions us humans from modernity so that we are more available to pattern and beauty and participation. And that's really what this equinox brewing time is. The more language words we have, the more ways of participating, the more stories from our team here, the more ways of participating, the more metaphors, the more music. These are all forms of, you know, in engaging. And so the effective delight of cahooting with Ami, which we've done for so many decades, Ami, we think it's 30.
I think 30.
Yeah, 30 decades, that makes it 3,000 years, 300 years. but yes, and so I so love cahooting with you because it's we can say, think, and feel all of us now what we need personally and collectively, and then we can go, Ami, call it in, right? Which we're going to do in a moment. What we need, you know, is calling in deep accountability as the sine qua non of democracy. And I love the tweet. I lost the name of the person who tweeted it, but he said, "Good news, folks. We can tell MAGA people we're flying them to a Trump rally, and we can drop them off in Siberia. It's not a crime." And I go, that's really good. It's wonderful. So put this in our magic backpacks, you know, as a liberating cultural hijinks going, oh, that's really good. You know, and the authoritarian's use of immigrants is anything, anywhere is everywhere. You know, Erdogan in Turkey and Orban in Hungary, you know, and here's DeSantis that I can't help but call DeSatan. You know, but commentator Susan Church says DeSantis should be prosecuted. I mean, she's a legal mind, and you know, kidnapping by fraud and RICO statutes for DeSantis and Abbott. And then Nikki Fried, who's the Florida Commissioner of Agriculture, there are great and woofy people, and especially great and woofy women. And she said DeSantis is flying too close to the sun, and we all know what happened. I'm like, yes. Mythology, restoring mythological literacy to human culture, Icarus, right? There's great poems about that and all. But, right, Icarus, the son of Daedalus, flies with his wax wings, right? For those who don't know, flies too close to the sun, and the sun melts the wax on his wings, and he plummets. Okay, so, without harm, we just have, we have a theme of how did the mythological past deal with tyrannical disruptors of equilibrium, and we go right. So we go right. May you have a soft landing, you know, Icarus, DeSantis, into the ocean, into Big Mama, to heal whatever has made you such a mean, creepy person. And we do want to invite in inspirational goodness. And you know, meanwhile in the Ukraine, there's some is having cleanup raves, and in which the whole. People are showing up just to rebuild, and they're putting on great music and dancing to the thing. And we go, right. And as a little sidebar, there's a lot of dancing going on, and I want to mention some of the choreography, not as an external thing that we should dismiss or accommodate to going with, but just to kind of notice as a tide. So Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, stationing now at 18 Taurus, a new continent rising fresh and beautiful out of the sea. It will go backwards, appear to go backwards, to station at 14 degrees of Taurus, where it's been a lot stationing there in the last, since the summer of 2021. And that has a fabulous degree, metaphors for each degree of the zodiac. The degree for that is, in the midst of a wild windstorm, a stranger walks into town wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the doctor, magician, collaborator with natural forces. Right. And as all of our team is kind of referencing, you know, from, you know, equanimity and compassion and kinship to Puerto Rico, where there's a hurricane, Taiwan, where there's an earthquake, Japan, you know, typhoon, Alaska, hugest storm ever. We're heading in. But I just want to put also as that for which everybody feels to strengthen with their animation, 14 degrees, you know, and it will go direct on January 22nd at that degree. Zelensky, an amazing dancer in many, many ways. And I did host a really interesting woman, Sofia Moskalenko, on radio because she and a co-author had written a really good essay on the difference between Ukrainian and Russian fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And everything's, you know, more complex than we can say, but she grew up in the Ukraine and Russia with those fairy tales. And she said, the Ukrainian fairy tales are very much against all odds, the unlikely, undervalued trickster makes friends with plants and animals and unlikely people and pulls off the impossible thing out of equal kinship. She said, in Russia, it's more the dim-witted, dunderheaded son saved by a flounder or some wise woman and then wreaks vengeance on all those who are mean to him, right? And so that's a little bit. But Zelensky has one planet on Earth. It's his Mercury at 14 degrees of Capricorn. Uranus will station trining that. We want the weapons to not work. Everybody's weapons to not work. We'll get to that part. But we do want the against all odds trickster. And when we get to Ken Burns' incredible thing, you know, everything's resonating now. You know, when Hitler invades Czechoslovakia, the rest of the world is like, you're on your own. Who cares? Right. Especially America was like, who cares? Right. Neville Chamberlain and others said, well, Czechoslovakia, just give the land, you know, to the Russian and German invaders. Just let it go. Anyway, so there's that thing. Okay. And then, you know, you can see the very wonderful thing from the mountain astrologer, Yvonne Chouinard, is giving Patagonia that Ron Kauk, you used to work with that company, right?
Yes, still do.
Oh, you still do? Excellent.
Yeah, we're in cahoots. Yeah.
And they've got a publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and an upcoming guest, Kristen Olson, has a great book that I just received in the mail today, Sweetened Tooth and Claw. And she said she had a number of publishers offering, you know, some weeks back, but she was like, or months back, but she was like, Patagonia, they do really good. And she's so pleased right now. And it's a beautiful book called Sweetened Tooth and Claw, Stories of Generosity and Cooperation in the Natural World, the natural world's equilibrium, you know, and it just opens even on the first page with a quote from Brian Doyle. The whole point of our evolution, it seems to me, is for us to find a way to fit back into the world as it is, rather than to try and remake it, you know. Well, we'll to fit us. We go, yeah, well, good. Well, we'll get to Lauren Isley as well. Oh, well, maybe we're there now. I love Lauren Isley saying, we are rag dolls made out of many ages and skins, changelings who have slept in wood nests or hissed in the uncouth guise of waddling amphibians. We have played such roles for infinitely longer ages than we have been men. Our identity is a dream. We are process, not reality, for reality is an illusion of the daylight, the light of a particular day. And then just two more things, because I love Lauren Isley so much. We have joined the caravan, you might say, at a certain point. We will travel as far as we can, but we cannot in a lifetime see all that we would like to see or learn all that we hunger to know. Right, so we're all here, and we're the mob mind that invites the worst of people. We're going to go there a little more deeply, too. So it behooves us to create the atmosphere, to be artists of atmosphere, to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable, and to invite and host, right, the conversation with everything. Everything has a conversational dance partner, even the virus. Like, what is it you want? We want you humans to quit despoiling the earth, because that's what all the mythology and the science say. Great book on viruses loaned to me by Aaron. Hi. Called Spillover. And spillover is the term for when a virus crosses from one species to another. And the detectives, this book was written in 2012, but it really got everything, right? And it said there are, you know, these great viral detectives going, oh, what's, how did this happen? Where's its home, this virus? What happened to make it harmful? And they go, some of the viruses, they start off sleuthing in Africa, but also in Australia, been there for thousands of years, just fine, equilibrium. And then they go, like in the Australian virus, they go, well, what happened? There was a terrible virus, just incredibly cruel and harsh in racehorses and then humans. And they go, oh, we introduced racehorses relatively recently, a new thing. And this is just the science part. When what gives rise to viruses being dangerous to humans and other species is humans despoiling the earth. But that's it. And that's the only thing that's going to end the ongoing unfurling kind of pandemic. And what the science book said is, you know, when humans disrupt a harmonious equilibrium, the virus seeks an amplifying mammal, you know, in this case, racehorses, to make it more virulent and more lethal to that which had been disrupting the environment. So there we go. Okay. And then the last Lauren Isley, because I love it so much. He says that, and this is for yay dogs, the magic that gleams an instant between Argos and Odysseus, right? Argos is Odysseus's dog, the only one who recognizes him, is both the recognition of diversity and the need for affection across the illusions of form. It is nature's cry to homeless, far-wandering, insatiable man. Do not forget your brethren, nor the green wood from which you sprang. To do so is to invite disaster. And that's very all of us, right? But that's also very, very you, Sean, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not forget our brethren or the green wood from which we sprang, right?
Mm. Oh, the old Irish word that gets translated as God now originally meant a being who had mastered the art of remembering all their incarnations and their kinship with everything. And it was that knowledge of the kinship with everything and the ability to speak that history of having been the stag of seven battles and having been the salmon in the pool that gave the ability to create and reweave worlds.
Yes. And again, in the human form, we look back to the family owned, you know, the founder of Patagonia Company, Yvon Chouinard. Actually, you probably know how to really pronounce his name, Ron. How do I say Yvon's name?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked the little flair on that. But Chouinard, we just call him Yvon Chouinard, but it's probably more like you said, since it's French, I believe.
Okay, Yvon Chouinard. Right. So he he's giving Patagonia a way to a trust created to address climate change. And Ellen, so wonderful, it didn't say fight climate change, to address climate change, to resolve climate change, for humans to come into the harmony, okay, and protect undeveloped land worldwide. It's about $3 billion and generates $100 million. And then his chart is our upcoming election chart. It's like, this is what billionaires could do. It's so humming. You know, he's his son at 16 Scorpio. And as we remember, on election day, 16 Scorpio is rising, a woman made fertile by her own spirit. And we go, oh, it's all humming and resonant. We love that. So wise leadership within and without, yay Saturn. And Saturn's image right now is a white dove descends bearing a message of peace. So, Ami, on Friday the 13th of May, when we did our last gig, you know, you did a great calling in of Obatala, and I'll hand it to you to introduce him. But when I watched the January 6th hearings, and at first I didn't know very much about Benny Thompson. I'm like, oh, is he going to be good enough? Will people watch? And I go, oh, Benny Thompson. And I texted you, Ami, and I said, you called in you called in Obatala, and he's standing behind Benny Thompson, because really, don't you think?
Yes. And before I talk about Obatala, can you talk about Kulu Kulu? Because it's very pertinent to everything everyone's saying.
Well, it is our Saturn, again, to insource what we've outsourced, because Saturn represents our power of defining things and our authority, which contains the word author, you know, and its leadership. It's the one we all most tend to outsource to incompetent sociopaths or any circumstance in our life, just even on a daily basis we're working, that causes us to cringe. Like, right? And we go, no, we're inhaling our Saturn, our goat. And so Kulu Kulu is part of that, which is our word cool, popularized by jazz musicians in the 40s, is a Yoruba word. This country owes a lot to the Yoruba people. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing, but they built New York. And George Washington promised all the slaves freedom if they fought on the Revolutionary War, and then he betrayed them. We're in America's Pluto return. Got to look at all of it. But cool. So Kulu Kulu, cool comes from Kulu Kulu, a Yoruba word, which means completely responsible to the community. So a cool leader is dedicated to community well-being. A cool musician or drummer is just the human, the drum, the divine nova playing, just poof. And in Yoruba, as in English, it means cool like temperature too. So the Yoruba remind us, especially now, that language is magic. Language is invocative. And they said, so when we use the word cool, to literally, I guess that's the right use of the word literally, but to imagine our heads, like let's do it now, as cool. And all the heat in the head moving down to the heart, which is where it belongs, right? So we have cool head, warm heart, opposite of road rage, right? Which is hot head, cold heart. And what the Yoruba said is they said this will allow for enhanced superconductivity of multiple ideas at once without getting, right? So that's really good. Just the word cool really is a practice. It's a practice we want to play with, yeah.
And conjuring in that real justice, you know, real justice with a cool head. That's just beautiful. And Obatala is the keeper of the cool head, and also is the one who is the sky father and the creator of human bodies and brought back to life through the smooth breath of Oludumare. And so, you know, we have infused sonically our offering to Obatala and sing Baba Fururu Ere Oro Oba Kanyeye Elejebo Ilehi Fa Oba Pibasawo Eribore re bati bawo enuaye yawaloro e yawaloro elesiokan enuaye mimoseo enuaye mi baba enuaye Mimoseo, enuaye mi baba, e o batala, ota wini wini,
Sere gude bobo la hiya sere.
So, I think that's one. Well, calling it in, and you do call it in, so that wise, responsible, cool in the head, warm in the heart, leadership may suffuse the collective mind. And what we're all up to here now, and in perpetuity may it be so, is each planet represents a quality of intelligence and kind of gives us a guiding and a dance story. So Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, is in Taurus now, excuse me, for the next couple of years. And I'm wildly enthused. For me, this is democratic animism. This is being able to experiment with all of our skills, to go backstage and go, oh, water, we have been very rude as a species. You know, oh, fire, we have been quite rude. Can we have manners? Can we move back into equilibrium? Can we negotiate so that some of the horror we humans have unleashed on all of our kin that is happening, that some of it be metaphoric rather than literal, right? And the reason that I always use this, because Edgar Cayce was a truly great psychic, and out of Kentucky, and everybody went to him in the 1930s and 40s. But in the 1940s, he predicted that in the 1970s, the East Coast of America would be deluged by a great flood. And what we got was Watergate. So can we negotiate backstage? Can each person who feels an experimental or whatever go, can we negotiate? And from living with, you know, Stella Coyote for so long, the trickster backstage says, well, what are you putting on the table? You know, if we do this, then that. If we honor fire in this way, if we honor water in this way. And both, yeah, and Ron, you do that a lot in your daily life. You live in Yosemite. You are our denizen of Yosemite. We have Yosemite and Maine. That's really great. Yeah. So,
you know, to roll with what you're saying, over here in Yosemite, you know, it's a lot about ceremony. You know, we have ceremonies, and we're spiritual beings. So we evoke our spirit, you know, to communicate with the spirit. So for me personally, it has a lot to do with that right now. And our spiritual beings, having a spirit, we need to communicate with the spirit of the water, the fire, the air. And like when Corbin Harney, a Shoshone elder, had said one time to me, we need to work with the miracle of life. But the way he said it, I've thought about it and pondered it for years, but I think it's about that spirit. Because he was a spiritual man, and he sang to the sunrise, you know. And that's how we lived for a long, long time. In these traditions, cultures, like Sean's talking about, our relationship with the earth, to bring back the human being, we have to evoke our spirit right now, because we've gone so far into a technology that's all impressive, but where do we get that idea? From our mind. So we need to use our mind in the direction of the technology. We are spirits to connect with the spirit of the water, all that. And that's what I feel is so important now, to bring us back into a ceremonial connection. Because it's the separation that caused a lot of problems with us now. You know, that's my thought about the baby who's being held and feeling nurturing love. Well, we're still that baby that wants that nurturing love. If we don't have that nurturing love, we're just simply acting out. So we've lost our connection to the great mother, the Mother Earth, who takes care of everything. And this is why with our nonprofit and with people like Sean and all ourselves, I feel that we're in a possibility to rewrite an educational system based on humanization, not industrialization. And I feel like that wants to happen, you know, because we have to bring the human being back into being human. And that just makes sense. So that's what's exciting when we do talk to, we're here to make sense and to get back to the basics, to re-put the value of life back into the mix here. You know, like we're saying, just breathing air, we're all connected. And that's what Corbin also said. He said, there's one air, one water, and one Mother Earth. You know, so there's just that part going on. Living in Yosemite, you know, it shows you this cycle of life. The spring, the summer, the autumn, and into the winter, and that's exactly how our lives go. So there's an incredible story here. And we're doing our best to participate. There's a new village being built here in Yosemite for ceremonies, you know, with a roundhouse. We have a sweat lodge up there. And it's a World Heritage Site. So it's very nice to be with all you good people as we evoke our intelligence that comes from a spirituality, I feel our spirit is talking around here. And the future will be about unifying the people. And I think in Yosemite, we have great potential to get the narrative back in the indigenous interpretation that would help us remember we're all indigenous to the earth. You know, so I'm glad that you started bringing up the water and the fire, as you were just saying. This was my feeling as we were talking. We're spiritual beings, and we need to evoke our spirit to communicate with the spirit of all life.
Yes, yes, and without self-conscious cringing in the face of secular progressives or Harvard, right, going, no, we're the Inquisition over, and our complicity with the Inquisition, going, no, we are, what you said is like, right, there we go. We come from people who sang to the sunrise, and animals do such things as well, you know, in the ritual realm.
We can do that on our own time when nobody's looking, if that's a problem.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
And Mercury right now, you know, is in Libra, retrograde, appearing to move backwards, right? Its image right now for us is pilgrims gathering around a campfire to animate a desirable story. And we go, we are doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's opposite Jupiter retrograde in Aries, which is, you know, some things are always true, but times when they're truer to tell the story afresh, as you just did and Sean just did and Pat will bring, and is to bring it alive like an animal. The story is alive, right? And we go, ah. And so Mercury's going to go leave Libra, go all the way back into Virgo to 24 degrees Virgo, which is a degree of grief, and says, before we go forward, let's honor grief. And grief is really love and kinship in its deepest say. And then Mercury goes direct October 2nd. And then just for further rumination in the fullness of time, Pluto overhead now when on the East Coast, forming grand trine in Earth, death rebirth dynamic, going to the underworld for the sacraments of kinship. Retrograde will go direct October 8th. And these crossroads, these changes of direction, I've noticed that Pluto says things are volatile and dangerous in direct proportion to the force of their exclusion. So very often on a Pluto station in the past, there has been volatility. But here we are, I want to bring this into play, to go, how do we cooperate with the positive thing? Pluto says to each person now, each person here came with a gift, maybe more, you know, a mission. And the retrograde is about remembering, like, didn't we all come here to do something, to give something in to and fro? It's like, we did, you know, and Uranus is trining the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of 1962 to 68. So the 60s are also like a positive sleeper cell. You know, those who live through it, those who are influenced by its resonating atmosphere, those who were born then, it's like, ooh, stirring, going, wait a minute, sane reverence emerging. There we go. And everybody, that's really good. So around October 8th, we go, all right, how to work with this emergent force, you know, collaborate and dance with everything. And then Saturn also is retrograde, that we remember what wise leadership is, and that humans, through their dedication, grow forms of gathering that are guided by nature's evolutionary patterned genius. And Pluto chimes in and says, right, you know, anything not based on any structures, not based on humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, are collapsing. Condos built on sand, you know, and we'll get to tyranny in a moment. But the energy that was invested in those structures or those parts of our lives are available for rededication. And this is a great time of rededication. We don't even need to know what. It just wants us to wonder, what are we dedicated to? And Saturn goes forward, outward, October 23rd, in time for the election, at 18 plus Aquarius, which is Barack Obama's rising sign, whose image is weary fire responders finally succeed in quelling a dangerous force. We go, oh, we're going to get into politics in a moment here. And also, interestingly, just for the side thing to ruminate on later, Mars will retrograde October 30th and then go direct January 12th, you know, and the in unfolding councils, we will go into all of this a little bit more. But I like the astro saying that the aggressor always loses when Mars is retrograde. So we go, we are dancers, we are not, you know, whatever, and so we just kind of honor that. And there's many other exciting things, but I will leave the retrograde stations over there. All right, we've called in wise leadership, and then I quote myself by going, magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. And then I just want to go to Uranus and Taurus. I love it. What it wants us to guide, it's very humming right now in each person. Where would we each like creative genius? It's available. And Uranus says, if you just kind of open your arms and go, available and willing, Uranus goes, all right, you're on. Here's creative genius. Where would you like that? So Uranus, the last time that Uranus was in Taurus was 1935 to 1942. And also, you know, in the 1860 election, Pat and I will be going into that more in history in the Election Magic Council, but 1935 to 1942. Now, a crucial gift from Ken Burns and Peter Coyote that began last night is called U.S. and the Holocaust, and it's very essential and profound, things that many of us need to know, didn't know, about complicity and about what's going on now and the danger that we're really in. And it's very kind of all of us here because we're missing part two, but it's streaming, and part three and four will be tomorrow night and the next. But it's powerfully good and potent, you know, and resonating right now, you know, Pennsylvania State Rep. Malcolm Kenyatta, you know, was talking about the Republican cult of white Christian nationalist authoritarians. And he talked about beat the beatable bigots. And it's like, okay, that's got alliteration. We like that thing. And, you know, and things we want to put on our desirable work altar. The Supreme Court could use four more. 13 is a nice number. And then we'll put Jones Day over to one side, and Pat and I will deal with that at some point. Maybe not tonight, but there's some really good book. There's a lot of good teammates showing up. There's a book called Servants of the Damned, right? Why Fool Around, by David Enrich, business investigator in New York Times. And Jones Day is a law firm that has, you know, given Trump the, approval of, you know, federal judges, and they're a law firm that primarily practiced before they found Trump and the Federalists and Leonard Leo, opioids, guns, and oil. And we go, oh, that's good. And Don McGahn worked in their offices and saw Trump as the vessel. And then now a leaky vessel. So, Pat, I think something we did on Trickster Training Council that I liked a lot, you brought up that Leonard Leo, or Leo Leonard, whichever, you know, was giving $1.6 billion to these right-wing organizations that are going to kind of create propaganda, right?
Yes.
And you had a great visualization, which I think is wonderful. You know, see, if we can turn it into a metaphor, we can cooperate in ways that the backstage is eager to animate. So you kind of imagine the giant bag of money being carried by a Monopoly guy?
Yeah, like a Monopoly guy, and then a coyote or something comes underneath it and pricks a bag of money that he's holding so tightly and wants to wield as his power. But unbeknownst to him, it's draining out all over the earth, and as it drains out on the earth, it grows. It grows, drops beautiful seeds, and just grows beautiful lush gardens. So it's just redistributing his wealth. It's putting it in the right place, and doesn't even need to know that it's working on a purpose that helps us all.
That's wonderful, right? So for all of us, it's good. You know, any looted lucre, right, within a giant bag in Australia, you can fill in your own visualizations. We had a bunch of coyotes, I think a couple of them going, yep, up, 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 biting holes in the bag, exactly as Pat just said, so that the money leaks out and irrigates the land, you know, and things bloom. It's again cooperating with any difficult thing, you know. May this, you know, in my life and the body politic, may this tyranny be composted, you know. And a doctor friend chimed in saying, to be reborn into the energy to regenerate forests, and it's like, oh, that's really great. So, what do we have now? Here we are. To cooperate with Uranus and Taurus that 1935 to 1942 didn't have, although I'm going to go into it just a smidge more. We have animism, you know, a will, you know, which Sean and well, all of us here really, and we're just going to speak to that, a willingness to cooperate, you know, and I like to say, you know, animism is not a belief system. It's just good manners. May our species have manners again, right, to and fro, reciprocity. You know, may I have this, and in turn, again, to and fro, remembering that, which, Sean and Ron are and Pat and everybody here, we're all that. So Ken Burns is, you know, I cannot recommend it enough, U.S. and the Holocaust, and it is narrated like Peter Coyote. I used to quip, you know, Peter Coyote narrates everything, including our dreams, right? But he's got the voice. So. First, we go backwards a little bit to 1936. Remember, Uranus is in Taurus, 1935, 1942. FDR is reelected, and finally he insists on America increasing its quota to accept refugees, Jewish refugees from Germany. But in this documentary. Important things to know, public opinion opposed refugees, especially Jews. And in 1938, two-thirds of Americans thought the Jews were at fault for whatever was happening to them. And they said anti-Semitism was so huge in America in 1938. It was so huge that it inspired Hitler, right? To and fro. Anything anywhere is everywhere. And we go, right. And that's when also, you know, Hitler invades Czechoslovakia and, you know, Neville Chamberlain says, give up your land, just go away. And it delineates the incredible cruelty and harshness of what's going on then, and people oblivious, a mass psychosis, right? And then Kristallnacht, which is November 9th. And I remember that because when Trump was first elected on November 9th, 2016, I go, that's Kristallnacht. That's the night of shattering glass. That's destroying beautiful culture. That's the night of broken glass. You know, and it's important for us to remember. Mercury retrograde is what must we remember in order to resolve? And I just remember that Trump was elected on Kristallnacht, which was so horrific to the Germans that that's the date, November 9th, that they chose to bring down the Berlin Wall, so that it would have something good then. And so as they delineate, you know, in this excellent documentary, America right now is having its Pluto return. Pluto is now in the sky where it was when this country was founded, first time, right? So it's the danger of the death of democracy as incentives for the rebirth of democracy, but only by looking at everything. Right. And this is a hugely resonant offering because as it goes along, and I can't wait, I'm eager, I'm grateful to watch the rest of this. It's so hard work and crafted and so incredibly crucial to us all right now because it's the fiction of tolerance in this country. You know, we knew many things, but it's like, oh, ho, ho. But now to make it real. Right. They go way back, you know, Theodore Roosevelt saying, you know, many people should not be breeding, You know, we should have forced sterilization. The whole realm of eugenics starts to come in to America in the 1920s, the early 20s, the Red Scare, and Henry Ford with these crackpot, you know, anti-Semitic, you know, eugenics, forced sterilization protocols. You know, the Henry Ford, you know, there we have it. You know, crackpot protocols of the Elders of Zion is a thing. It's translated into German, where Hitler finds it and goes, this is great stuff, right? It's from America. And in May 26, 1924, a really, really ugly immigration act was passed, limiting immigrant quotas. It's very ugly. And in 1924, Hitler's in prison, and he sees this, and he's so pleased. And he sends out a message, I'm so pleased that America shares my vision of a white nation. He admired, he wrote about, you know, he's writing Mein Kampf, he admired how America dealt with its indigenous people. He's like, there you go, reservations, camps, concentration camps, that's the way to do it. And then, you know, so in the 30s, right, and I want to turn to you in a moment, Pat, to remind us that there was a coup against FDR, it's all humming right now. It's all humming right now. Because Hitler admired, again, America's annihilation of its indigenous people, and he wrote that that inspired him to do the same thing going east, right, to Hungary and Czechoslovakia and Eastern Europe and Ukraine and everything. FDR sworn in, and he says, you know, no, Uranus and Taurus in fascism in Europe, New Deal in America, but dodgy, right? That's how it comes to us now, but it's like it could have gone fascist. And do you have an easy way of, Pat, of communicating to us what the coup against FDR was about?
It was called the Business Plot. And it was in 1933, and it was found out, and it was a congressional hearing about it in 1934. And a very famous general, major general called Smedley Butler, was approached by somebody saying, I represent all these wealthy Americans, and I can get 500 troops on the ground for you if you take over this coup plot, and we're going to take out Roosevelt, and we're going to put in a dictator, because we're what he's trying to do to get us out of the Depression is anathema to what they wanted. And there's rumors that it was J.P. Morgan, DuPont, CEO of General Motors, Birdseye, General Foods, who really wanted to get him out of there because they didn't like the New Deal. So it came very close. And so they approached this general, and he says he actually went to the FBI, and he went to Hoover and said, oh, my gosh, guess what I just got approached for? And so he didn't go through with it. And then there were congressional hearings, and the testimony in those congressional hearings are still not public as to who he actually named and who was part of it.
Hmm.
When I think of Smedley Butler, I think about, in some ways, General Milley has some small sparks of that same spirit in terms of his perceiving the rising fascism and saying no to it. Of course, Smedley Butler would go further in his life and speak out against imperialism and speak out against everything he had been ordered to do over his career, and we can hope that that same spirit will be kindled further in General Milley.
Right. That's what we, whatever we speak to another is what we're encouraging, we'll come back around to that for a moment. But then, so the New Deal comes in after the Depression, and the Depression also, you know, increases America's populace in being like, no, don't let anybody in. You know, no, we can't help anybody. Right. And so FDR is like, New Deal, let's get America back to work in all these, you know, creative, interesting, good ways that we would like again. We would like again. And that's why, you know, Pat and I were putting a pewter reflective shield around Biden. This was like, whatever, I can't remember, 6 weeks ago or something. I was going, God, there's all this black magic, small and large, you know, like he looks old, he's a failure. And I go, that's not good for, you know, somebody who's our best union president so far. And, you know, as you said, you know, we all do, you know, kowtowing to progressives going, no, none of it. He was not any of our first choice, but he's our guy now, you know. And you said, you know, Pat, you'd said at one point that, you know, he's the guy we didn't know we needed. And it's like, I'm going for that. So anyway, so we imagined a pewter reflective shield to poison goes where poison is welcome, but poison returns to its source when it is not welcome, says Terry Pratchett, which is, so yeah, so that it reflect, you know, anything harmful, right. And let anything good, you know, kind of find in. And you then texted me, Pat, and said, you know, well, let's imagine just a little bit of lightness around the 14 acres of the White House. You know, and then I think it was like a week later, you said, Joe Manchin changed his mind and Biden recovered from COVID. Let's keep this going.
Oh, anyway, so, yeah, I think it was 2 days.
So, I'm sorry, say what?
It was within a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
It was just within a couple of days. Manchin changed his mind and Biden got over COVID.
Right, right. And it's all, you know, there's still things that we want to compost about, you know, Manchin slipping things in and pipe stuff and everything. But again, that's where what is different now to us, what is available to us now that was not as widely available in 1935 to 1942. And that is our, you know, our indigenous allies guiding us back to cooperating with the earth. And that's the trickster against all odds, which can make this all, you know, work. And then Ami, just, you know, just for whatever reason, when we were having such a great time Saturday night at you were here in person, it was wonderful. You sang beautiful songs, yeah, but you also with wonderful friends of yours, you know, and you also said, well, what happened to Kamala Harris, right? Can you remind us why you brought her up?
You know, when we're talking about all the different ways that we want to kind of stay in the land, you know, democratic atomism and liberating magic, you know, like Kamala was our liberator. We were so excited for her to get into this position and be there and rah-rah team. And then she just went quiet and it was like, wait, where is our Shiro? Like we were expecting all this stuff, all these great things to happen. And it's been very disheartening to not see what I thought was going to happen. And then, you know, reading about these, you know, interviews that she was saying that she squelched in her ability to do things because of different aspects of the, you know, Biden administration and on and on and on. But it was really this desire to see tyranny dissolved in a way that she was going to be able to help bring that to the
people. Let's do that. Because when you said that, I was like, oh, okay, Kamala Harris. And what do you know about Kamala Harris, you know, Pat? And so I pull up her chart. We have a birth time. It's October 20th, 1964. She's a Libra dragon like me. Arr, 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 arr.
Yes.
And what does Ursula Guin say? Those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians. Well, so we gotta help each other out. So because you said that, you know, about her, I thought, well, we're all experimenting, you know, and playing. And what can we do? What does astromythology make available? We can back her up. And Kamala Harris, you know, October 20th, 1964, 9:28 p.m. in Oakland. So sun at 27 Libra. the image for that degree is a person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. So I love that. I love that degree because when we're alone, we can all be that person in deep gloom. But when we gather, like now, we can be the glowing circle of angels. Mm. So let's do that for Kamala, you know, the glowing circle of angels. And she's born in exact full moon, So we got a full moon thing. We got a full moon on the election. We got a full moon. Her sun's 27 plus Libra. Her moon's 27 plus Aries, which is a large audience for a woman who liberates them from their expectations.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Pluto is moving through her eighth house of backstage, this and that, and is exactly squaring the moon and sun, which is like, oh, it's very testing. The U.S. Pluto, the Pluto in the sky. So there may be nefarious constraints or like, you know, whatever is keeping her bound. However, this election is very good for her. She's also 1964, so the Uranus-Pluto conjunction. Her Venus is the same degree as Marie Laveau's sun. It's a Ouija board. And we go, oh, that's okay. And it's sextiles her Neptune at 16 Scorpio. Okay, her and Liz Cheney, Neptune at 16 Scorpio. They're witches. They're witches. Right? Witches with their witchy hand tied behind their back. And we want to just untie it. You know, it's like for all of us who go, you know, born and feeling unusual, magical, cooperative. And we go, oh, maybe Inquisition makes it dangerous. Let me tie my magic hand behind my back and forget about it. And then go, wait a minute, life is really hard with one arm. Wait, I have another arm. It's my magic arm. I just, so, you know, for exactly. All of us.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, that's a good.
The unseen world. That's what we're talking about now.
Yes.
Working within that power we have
yes.
in our conscious mind. Send those emails to them directly with your mind. Yes. You know, this is what ceremony is about. This is what connecting to spirit's about. This is what I'm trying to get at when I say evoker. We say evoke the spirit. Send that power. And I like what you've said many times, Carolyn. It was like that until now.
Right.
So as we speak in this moment, we're activating the power we have to change things with the unseen world of spirit. This is, personally, the feeling I get in a powerful place like Yosemite, evoking working with ancestors of this land in our ceremonies. We have seen miracles happen. I'm just going to go ahead and share that.
Mm-hmm.
So when our elder put it in my ear many years ago, we have to work with the miracle of life. We have to break the spell of just being running on academics and what we call politics, because like you said, it's all connected, but we're not going to limit it, as you just described. Get both hands out there and work the magic if that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. There's a whole other level of commitment to put your vote into that world, too.
Right, right.
So mm-hmm. serious. It's very serious because we know it's a rigged game. We know it's corrupt. I mean, seriously, look at it. It's just impressive how much corruption we do. But we're okay. That's just part of the thing here. But in the other world of sincerity and power and spirit, your creator, your creation, we're connected, Mother Earth. I mean, we got more energy than we even know what to do with, and apparently we forgot what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to work with that. And that's what we're doing here for everyone in the world. We had a sweat Saturday night. We're in there. There only might be a few of us, but we understand what's happening. We're connected to everything. We're sending those feelings out all over the place. And that's the indigenous connection. That's why we want to get that balance with our people throughout the land to keep these ceremonies going. And go to a whole nother level of ceremonies. Committed starting with ourselves, with that rhythm of heart, your heartbeat.
And the whole realm of the Inquisition, you know, that in a sense, you know, wherever the moon is in our chart, wherever it is in our lives right now, you know, delineates a tradition that we all belong to in some way. Right now, the moon is in Cancer opposite Pluto. You were speaking of the, you know, the mother love that without which, you know, it creates sociopathic dingbats. Missing the whole point of life. So, you know, the chart of now would say, you know, we all, just as a story offering, belong to a tradition of men and women deeply kinned with the earth who were intimate with the world by being able to read it symbolically. You know, and this is in practical, practical ways. You know, what you were saying, Sean, you know, early migration of birds, this kind of cloud means we should save this much quinoa for planting, right? It's all practical. Dream interpreters of the world as though it were a dream. That's the description of all of us here now and many other beautiful things. And we go, and leadership came from that in the community. who is dedicated to peace, who's dedicated to collective well-being. We have this memory somewhere back in our mythic DNA, but then we say, okay, what a great tradition. What happened to that tradition? As we journey from mythic ancient world through many inquisitions, right? And the repercussions are still here, but that's what we're kind of calling for. In women, the Inquisition certainly went after witchy women, but the primary target throughout time has been educated women. So if we think of what happened throughout history, educated women either died or went into a kind of witness relocation program. Nothing to worry about here. I'm just a lawyer. I'm just a politician. I'm not a witch, right? We go, right? And then
exactly.
You know, and I think a lot of mother-daughter conflict, you know, I like pitching this to people in reading sometimes going, you know, oh, my mother really hated me. And I go, well, think of it this way. Let's say, you know, Inquisition and all ancient tradition goes into hiding, witness relocation program, and mother, some mother, I like pitching it going, not that your mother would have ever thought this, but she looks at her daughter and goes, oh my God, I've just given birth to a witch. If my daughter is really herself, she's going to blow my cover and the Inquisition will come round us up. And a number of women have gone, oh, that really solves so much, right? So it's not that she hated you, it was fear, you know, not even with words to it. So then we want to wish safety. We wish safety to that kind of dynamic. And so, yeah, here we are. You know, in that dynamic, but I also wanted to say, you know, for us, you know, telepathically backstage, all of us, you know, then to look at the connection. I was saying this to you, Ami, you know, when we were backstage, you know, whatever. So with Kamala Harris, okay, if I just look at the chart, all dragons have Jupiter in Taurus. Jupiter, which is wisdom from the earth. Squares Saturn. It encounters some obstacles, but the challenge for all of us right now, everybody here, it's wonderful, saying that our dedication, our deliberate dedication to democracy on all levels, our kinship with all life, you know, grow the form, you know, our forms of human gathering that are in accord with nature's ingenious collaborative design thing. And Kamala's kind of got that. Or as an assignment, a challenge, an assignment. We go, we see you being able to do this, and how, and whatever quirky way, and the quirky connection between Liz Cheney, who did many, many, many terrible things, right? But now has a moment of goodness. Both of them have Neptune at 16 Scorpio. Well, it's 19, it's, you know, and Jamie Raskin, these are all 64, you know, dragons, you know, really. And we go, it's a shift. But the election unlocks these people's witchcraft. And in the same way, I was saying to Ami, I go, and there's a connection between Kamala Harris and Brittany Griner. Okay, let's go, yeah, for this. Brittany Griner's chart, October 18th, 1990. Cool. The image for her midheaven is a witch protecting chickens from the hawk, although she likes the chicken, the hawk too. What's rising due east on her noon chart is 22 Sagittarius, which is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to protect democracy from tyranny. There are larger forces at work in all of our lives. But again, you know, and her, I'm going to say this because it's very cool to me. I hope it conveys. All right. So 16 Scorpio, Liz Cheney, Kamala Harris, Brittany Griner's Pluto is 16 Scorpio, and we go, oh, the woman made fertile by her own spirit. These are powerful women who have held back, well, been held back in Brittany's case. But something about this election on November 8th, where the sun's at 16 Scorpio and the moon's at 16 Taurus, is, you know, what do we want to see? We certainly want to back up Brittany Griner. We certainly want everybody to unlock themselves, Ollie Ollie income free, you know. And then just for the, you know, what can we do? I see the connection between of kinship. That's really what we're here to celebrate: complex, quirky kinships across borders. You know, so Ami, when I said that you were born the same day as Lieutenant Uhura, whatever the wonderful actress is, but because her son is at 6 Capricorn, which is how I knew it was your birthday, which is your Sabian, heavily veiled Hierophant, seized by the divine, leads a powerful ritual. That's you, Ami, and that's Lieutenant Uhura also. That's Brittany Griner's Uranus.
Yeah. Oh,
she,
wow.
She wants you. She wants us to see, you know, heavily veiled Hierophant seized by the divine leads a powerful ritual. I'm just putting out, it's ritual that will set her free.
Yep.
And her Jupiter at 10 Leo, that's your Uranus, Ron. I'm pretty sure, Ron Kauk, because its image is that you share is, children swinging under the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strengths of all ancient traditions based in nature mysticism. That's Brittany Griner's Jupiter, right? Mm-hmm. And it's stirring now, and we go, ooh. And it's, you know, just to put it out as an interesting mystery, because, you know, what terrible hardship. She's a new moon, sun and moon at 25 Libra, Mercury at 22 Libra, Venus at 21 Libra. That's George Floyd's son. That's my son as well. We're all in this dream together. And see, if we outsource our Saturn, then it comes at us and we are imprisoned. But what can we do backstage? We wonder, you know, and we just want to, even in her horrifically small prison cell, we want to send her, you know, a dream of children swinging under the shade of a huge oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
The borrowed strength of all nature spirit traditions reaching back into the past. So is that you, Ron, or?
Yes. From the heart. You know,
from the heart.
That medicine to work with that miracle that was said that will free her and keep her strong. Kamala Harris will come out now. You know, she'll get into the light, you know. This is what it's about with, like you said, ritual, ceremony, and sincerity. There's so much power, you know, from our heart. And that's really what I guess I'm trying to get at, you know. Just when we bring that together, right, like we're doing now across this world here with that, you know, radio magic. Like you're saying, our voices are traveling. And we have to understand that makes it, we know that it makes a difference. So it's such a beautiful story to be in. And to, like we're saying, evoke our intelligence, our spirituality. Some people say prayer, you know, conscious thought. It is very powerful. And I just love that part of our existence in this world. And I think that's why we're recognized as spiritual beings, human and a being, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where we're headed now. And we're working on the balance. So everything's connected. We can't ignore what some call politics. You know, we have our challenges here with our Native community in the Park Service, trying to have a language to communicate. You know, but we're working on it. You know, it's a healing process because we're all human. You know, so it's quite an impressive story to be in this beautiful world and keep that beauty going within ourselves so our minds stay kind of clear, you know, because it can get pretty wild in our minds, you know. That's why we have to go to our heart. I recognize that my higher intelligence is in my heart. So when I know that, if I see my mind getting a little bit off, I go to my heart to clear it up.
Yes. And then just for our, you know, Kamala Harris, Brittany Griner connection. Remember, the image is, excuse me, it's very moving and choking. A person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels. Let's send that to Brittany Griner.
Yes.
I mean, there's a person in deep gloom, and we go, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds her, you know, and again, you know, unlocks things. The glyph, the symbol for Uranus, looks like an archaic jail key. So it's like, unlock yourself and pass it on. Unlock yourself and pass it on. So we know expectation is the partner of disappointment. But willingness is the dance partner of life. It's a small verbal distinction, but a huge energy difference. So we go, we will see it. And that's the work of Dion Fortune in World War II, where the Brits hired her and the ritualists of England to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion. And I've been spending a lot of time in late 1930s, 1940s fiction, but historically accurate fiction, Germany, Poland, Ukraine, France. And it's like, oh, I didn't really, there's a lot I didn't know. It's very, very, very pertinent. And when the Nazis roll into France, the French government is like, oh, sure, okay. So they roll right over. The resistance is something else, but the government, and pretty much everyone at that time, including the Brits, thought that the Nazi invasion of Britain would succeed. And again, America was like, it's not our problem. Right. And then I go, well, there was the power of ritual going on. You know, maybe we don't presume, but maybe that connection. You know, and that's where, you know, Dionne Fortune was saying it was, even as the bombs are falling, she's saying it was important that we maintain an atmosphere of tranquility in our homes. Otherwise, how could we have hoped to have been a nucleus of stability for the nation's soul? I think that's a great thing to say. You know, whatever we have a word for, we have a relationship, says this time of the year repeatedly. And then she said part of our dedication, part of how we did that, our deliberate democracy, right, was, you know, as bombs are falling, was our discipline, disciplined dedication at animating the desirable story. You know, no, this, you know, and seeing it, the Brittany Griner part of ourselves, the Kamala Harris part of ourselves, the everything part of ourselves. So, so we have just a little more, here we go. So Ami, to back up a little bit, when Jupiter and Neptune conjoined in the middle of the summer, and it was the two rulers, two hosts of Pisces, the headlines are writing themselves. The New York Times headline within an hour of the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction was Neptune missile, a big deal. And it was the Ukrainian Neptune missile that took out, you know, the Russian warship. But now we would prefer a missile, a Neptunian missile, to be like dissolving, you know, the miraculous kind of a thing. But we had the thought also, you know, as I hand it to you, Ami, to introduce Ogun, going, may weapons, may machines of war break down. Or do you want to introduce Ogun as an ally to invite in?
Yes, absolutely. So Ogun, like a Legba, Ogun is part of the triad of warriors that protect us. And, you know, it's an oversimplification to just view Ogun as like the god of war. Ogun keeps the tools and the earth elements, especially iron, all the tools such as knives, to either kill or clear the path in the woods, till the earth, fix things. And so Ogun represents our primordial force and energy to call upon when you want tools for fixing, for planting, for protection, for building, and for clearing a path forward. And so we bring in the sonic amplification by singing, Ogun de re ya re re, ille bo po lo guba. Ogun wani le oke wa lo na o, ille bo po lo guba e.
Ah, that's great. Right, so we just see anything up to no good not working. That's right, the autonomy of the machines, and also, as you said, the beautiful ode, you know, to tools and knives, you know, and, you know, building and repairing and sculpting, right? Everything, you know, Mars dancing. So then I'd said to you,
about knitting and weaving. Did you?
Yes. We're getting to knitting and weaving right now. That part of the Greek tradition is when Hercules was destroying the world by his tantrum yoga because he hadn't worked it. We don't know why. But the gods got together and they sentenced him to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving, to weave back together the creation that he'd been sundering. You know, and we say this to all the cruelty, all the missing of kinship in the world. You know, it's like so to send them to the underworld, right? And can Ogun do that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Excellent. So he's sending you go to the underworld. I like the Dementors in the underworld knitting tea cozies. There's Bolsonaro having lost his imminent election. There's, you know, Erdogan. There's, you know, all the tyrants in the, I think this is a good one to, I mean, is that, Does that amuse you, Sean Patrick O'Donohue?
It does.
Oh, good. That's good. And are you up for that, Ron Kauk, to see the tyrants in the underworld learning knitting and weaving?
Yes, I think it's a beautiful sight.
It is. And meditating.
Yeah.
And meditating,
I also had the thought when we were speaking about sending the kidnappers to Siberia,
yes,
that once they get there, it's best to turn them over to the ones who know how to work with the Amanita so that they can be trained in their proper underworld integration.
That's excellent. I like that, too. That's very much. It's like, because we are friends of everyone's soul, we are friends of their indictment and their accountability. Accountability is the sine qua non of democracy. And see, it's very tippy. This is, you know, there's so much beauty in now and in this full moon waxing election. It transcends, you know, whatever limited idea we have of politics. It's just participating in collective well-being. That's all that politics is in its distilled form. And there's a lot. You know, a lot on the line. You know, life is on the ballot, right? So mm-hmm. I feel ardently, you know, about that. You know, and then, of course, the word inaugurate as the antidote to the Inquisition. Everything is magic if we track it back to its originating liberating impulse. Mm-hmm. So the word inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner within, you know, Sean and Pat and Ron and me and everybody here, and Ami, the diviner augur would go out into nature, and observe, be available on their own or with sacramental help, to the beautiful patterns of nature, whereby nature would proclaim the most responsible or responsible enough human who would then be inaugurated, right? And so we want to see that as well. This election is, you know, we're voting on behalf of all that can't vote. You know, what would be best for chipmunks, and slime mold and elk and wolves and all of our kin? What would be best for them? You know, and we're available in many forms of receiving, you know, dreams, imagination, you know, all of that available. So, yeah, so we have a jaunty deconvening. We get to wish ourselves out of shackles in many ways that we're about to, as we spiral into dynamic equilibrium. Maybe so. But anything, oh valuable, wonderful teammates, you know, Pat or Sean or Ron, anything else, any blessing you'd like to pour forth now before we woof woof?
Yeah. You know, that we ask our Creator for the blessings of us being in this sacred circle this evening to share from our heart, mind, spirit, that this world receive the healing that's needed to bring us back into a sacred balance with all life, and that miracle will take place through these elections to get the right people in there. It'll evoke our ceremonies throughout the land, inside and outside ourselves with our community, and define us for the future generations, what could it can look like.
Beautiful. Oh. and Sean, do you have a woof to speak forth or not?
Yeah.
Either way.
May we remember always that nobility and generosity are deeply intertwined. And with that, may we who have received so much blessing from the living world always return generous prayers, generous offerings, generous attention. May we learn through giving how to be again a part of the true cycle of life and renewal.
Yay. All right. Okay. And Pat, do you have do you want to have a silent blessing or a spoken blessing, whatever you want, or an infomercial for our upcoming council?
Yeah, I can give you the 411 on the Kamala situation. But I would let kindness be the currency of politics and society.
Mm.
You know, elevate politics over pranks. The supportive collective action is a viable solution to manifest society's dreams.
Yeah.
And grow our hearts so the seeming stranger is included and accepted as a friend.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so delighted to cahoot with all of you for quite a while now, and for everybody here, many names I see show up going, ah, hello, that's wonderful, it's really good, no, I don't do it. So then I hand it to you, Ami, because I said for our outro, we want something jaunty, because jaunty means lively and confident.
Yes.
Lively and confident. So you said you have a lively.
I do.
Okay, let's do it.
It's a song for Oshun, and this song is dedicated to our hand that's been, our magical hand that's been tied behind our back. May it be liberated, like the shackles that bind our minds, our bodies, and most importantly, our belief in magic, in dreams, and in the power of our fierce, radical imagination.
Woof. All right. Go forth and be woofy, everybody. Thank you all. Thank you so much. I'm Michaela Gaston, collaborator for 30 years. That's so wonderful. And thank you, Ron Kauk, great spirit brother whenever I did a reading for you so long ago, and Sean Patrick O'Donohue and Patricia Ewing, we will be cahooting our Election Magic Council. And everybody here, thank you all so much. Woof, woof, go forth, spiraling into dynamic equilibrium. Yay.
Ooh. Bye.